517, 730 WTNT, The Truth. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And one of the columns I regularly look forward to reading in the Washington Times is Deborah Simmons' column, Can We Talk? And today she deals with anti-bullying legislation being misguided. And she joins me now. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, Andy. How's it going?
Everything's going just fine. Hey, what happened to the days when we recognized bullies on our own and kind of took care of it?
Exactly. The government. That's exactly what happened. You know, as more and more states start adopting these laws and that are including intimidation and harassment, which, as we know, can, if not documented, will be, as Herb Cain is teaching us today, is kind of in the eyes of and the ears of the beholder. And that's exactly what's going on here, and why this D.C. law is just government overreach and overkill.
Yeah. Is it just name calling? I mean, name calling is one thing. Bullying by pushing around someone and beating on them is something else. That's the way I look at it.
Exactly. That's assault. If you're beating on someone or you're pushing them around, shoving them down the stairs, pushing their books out their arms every day, even snatching their lunch money from them, that's not bullying. That's actually assault and theft, because you're stealing something from someone. But the D.C. law has so many incredible stipulations in it, until I could be offended for somebody calling me the short black girl with the dreadlocks. I mean, come on. They're calling out all kinds of characteristics, which is exactly one place where the D.C. law goes wrong, by trying to make it agender neutral and then mentioning, whether they're racial, ethnic, physical characteristics such as your short, your height, your skinny, your fat, or whatever the deal is. I mean, if that ain't overkill, I don't know what is.
Yeah, by the way, I wanted to thank you for mentioning me, finally, in one of your columns, a fat white guy with a bald head.
You see what I mean? This is, and I've gotten some very interesting comments, both on the website and emails that I got. I got a couple of folks who said, thank you for pointing this out, and one of them even mentioned, as long as government keeps trying to raise us and dictate to us how we live our lives and trying to raise our children, we're going to have this problem. I don't know why more parents won't step up on this.
Yeah. You know, the argument I always hear is the one about the kids with one parent or a latchkey kid who doesn't seem to get any direction at home, and these programs are for them to serve as a catch net. Mm-hmm. For them, and everyone else gets kind of tangled in the web.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. I had someone, a woman on the email, our email site, who wrote that she was bullied from the time she was in kindergarten through high school. That's your entire public school life. There's something terribly wrong with a picture like that. The thing is that we're tying actual criminal acts in legislation to something that may only offend you. And I did, to my editor's credit, I guess, because we are a family newspaper, I listed a slew of derogatory terms and racial slurs that people could be called, and it would be considered unlawful under the D.C. law. At the same time, if what would we do with, forgive me, I can't remember the broadcaster's name, who was with MSNBC, who called those black women at Rutgers, the basketball players, nappy-headed hoes.
Oh, that was Don Imus.
Don Imus, exactly. Well, now, suppose the students themselves had turned around and done this exact same thing, or even did it before he did. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Then they would be considered bullies, and that's just not the case at all. Bullying somebody is either physically assaulting them and attacking them, or literally calling them names and intimidating them to the point where they are emotionally distressed. And that's just not, for the most part, what's going on here around the country. We're even calling a bully somebody who harassed somebody to the point they committed suicide. Well, but we're not checking into the facts of that. We're just assuming that because a lot of teens in general, and gay teens in particular, are committing suicide, that they had to have been bullied when years ago, I can remember this very clearly, you kind of pushed their sexuality under the rug while still punishing the perpetrator who committed the bullying.
Mm-hmm. In your mind, are school offices becoming police stations?
Absolutely. Which is why I mentioned that in a moment we're going to have to start citing the, you know, Mirandizing kids as soon as they cross that threshold of the principal's office. It's really gotten, and this rule will apply not only in schools and on school property, but in libraries, at recreation centers, in recreation programs. And we all know what happens after when such humongous loopholes are written into a law. They're going to be class action or civil action lawsuits all over the place in the District of Columbia.
Yeah. When does all this end? When there's finally an uprising from enough parents that they just say, you got to stop?
Yeah, exactly. But it seems like they're all in cahoots because everywhere you turn, you can Google, you can use whatever search engine you want. All of the everybody in the anti-bully movement is using the bloodletting, whether it's at the hands of the so-called victim or at the hands of somebody else, to bolster these laws when, in fact, we need to have parents, and I don't mind saying, who need to be pulling out a switch or two and wagging a few fingers at their children.
Yeah, that's a touchy subject. Over the years, I have received I have received emails and phone calls from people that because I support a little pat on the butt once in a while with a kid. I mean, that's the way I was raised. That's the way I raised my children. And quite frankly, I never really had to smack my kids more than once or twice. And when I did it, you know, I did it in a fashion where I smacked them on the butt and that was the end of it. And they got the message. And yet, if you say that on the air, and having said it today, right now, I will get some type of email, I'll get some type of Twitter response, I'll get something from someone saying that's absolutely, you know, unforgivable. You cannot do that.
Yes, you can. And more of us need to do more of that because I was raised the same way you were, and I raised my kids the exact same way. If we did that more, if we took our responsibility to raise our children to know right from wrong and mean it when we say, do not do that, and show them that we mean it, we wouldn't need all these ridiculous laws that they're creating right now because there's nothing wrong with spanking a child. I'm not saying beat a child.
That's
there's
right.
Nothing wrong with spanking a child or taking their hand and smacking it and said, no, you can't have any more candy.
Well, I remember my neighbors went to a Catholic school, and I used to be amazed. They would come home, and they'd have marks across their hands where the nuns had taken a ruler and smacked them in school.
Where are the rulers now?
Long gone. Long gone, Deborah.
Okay.
All right. Well, look, great to talk to you again. We'll do it soon.
You as well. Thanks, Andy.
See
you.
Deborah Simmons, she always writes a great column. It's called Can We Talk? Here in the Washington Times.